This week's episode of the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast is sponsored by Big Dumb Bitch Productions. If you need a podcast intro, call the Big Dumb Bitch himself. In fact, he was kind enough to provide us with the intro for the podcast you will hear today. Without further ado, on to the show.
You don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits, putting on the Ritz.
Welcome to the Bag Clan Podcast, and your hosts, Blake, Tyler, and Robert.
Dressed up like a $1 million trooper, trying hard to look like Gary Cooper.
Hello, welcome in from where we are to where you are. This is the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast. Appreciate you guys all joining us. Was Nate drunk for that already, for that intro?
It was sure real early if he was drunk.
God, looked like he had to pause and think between each of our names, like he doesn't know us.
Or like he was trying to be spooky, you know, because it's Halloween month. He's like, it's Tyler, Blake, and Rob. I expect you to break out in a...
It did sound like that.
Right?
That's the kind of quality you get at Big Dumb Bitch Productions.
Oh, yeah. You can tell they're burning the midnight oil there.
Oh, boy. Yeah, welcome in, everybody. Normal week for the podcast. You know, we're going to have all the normal segments. Got week 6 coming up. Gonna break into some news, some injury reporting here. Got a new episode of Blake's Over Under, talk about our transactions here in the bag league, and then do some matchup breakdowns. Before we get into all that, I wanted to ask Tyler and Rob here, how you guys doing, feeling weeks going into week 6? You know, we had the injury apocalypse last week. This week buys begin, so how are we feeling going into this one?
Terrible. I'm on a 3-game losing streak, and I don't see that not continuing, so I feel awful.
Yeah, I mean, at this point in the season, there are certainly teams that have separated themselves from the pack, and none of us are in that lead pack. So, yeah, it doesn't feel great.
Hey, I'm 4-1.
I'm more so talking about points, because we all know that points are a better indicator of how your team actually is. And there are two teams above 800 points, and it's Monty and Nate.
Yeah, well, okay, whatever. Let's go into our news, baby.
Knock, knock. Who's there? The news.
Okay, news this week. Yeah, let's hit our news first. Bye week sadness. I already said that. Everybody's in their sad pits for the week. At least that's the beginning of it all. We got some low profile teams. I didn't mark down who was all on buys, but I know the Lions are, and Houston. Some others.
Houston, yeah.
Tennessee as well.
Oh, yep. There you go.
Let's see. Davante Adams. Let's talk this one. It's the second one here on my list. I didn't see it because I had to go to bed early that night. But Davante Adams apparently pushed a camera guy. I assume it was on the exit of that game.
Yes.
Yeah, so basically what happened was a camera guy was crossing in front of the entrance to the locker room, and Adams just straight up bowled him over. Could have gone around, very easily could have gone around, decided he wanted to pit somebody. He's going to get charged with something, and who knows what that'll impact.
I think it already came out today he was charged with misdemeanor assault.
Right, because the guy filed a report.
Yes.
I mean, so that was going to hinge on.
So what I want to,
whether
talk about
suspended
is,
or not.
Yeah, does he get suspended? You know, game or more from this?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, if you do something like this on the football field, you're definitely not protecting the shield, and the shield is going to come down hard.
Yeah, it's minimum one. It's possible he gets two.
Yep.
All right. Let's see. Matt Rhule was fired. Yeah, out of the Carolina Panthers head coach. I wrote in here, womp womp. Tyler, I believe you got something for us too.
Yeah, no, there's a song for Matt Rhule. Here, I'll play it.
Nice.
You're fired. And in case your ears are fucked, get the fuck out.
There you go.
That'll work.
All right. No, I actually wrote womp womp for something else. Sorry.
Oh.
But yeah, Matt Rhule's fired. I guess you guys want to talk about what happens to Carolina's fantasy production or the team in general with this?
Well, I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, I do not physically think the fantasy production can get worse.
But agreed. I mean,
the bar was set pretty low.
Right. What it does is it brings out speculation that, CMC could be on the move. I mean, that kind of dominated the sports airwaves here the last day or so. I kind of doubt it. I mean, how are you going to attract a good coach if you give away your best offensive piece? You don't have anything at quarterback. You've stymied yourself by trading for two guys 2 years in a row that have come up empty. So bad so that you're just hoping PJ Walker gives them some stability maybe as the third string. So it's bad right now.
Yeah, I mean, PJ Walker good at in the XFL last year, or what is that, almost 2 years ago at this 2 years point? Ago.
Buddy,
yeah,
that was pre-pandemic.
Oh boy. Feels like it was not that long ago. But yeah, got one chance in last year's football season. We'll see.
Yeah.
What was it? CMC rumors going to the Bills is what that main rumor was.
Well, just because, everybody feels they're a great running back away from just dominating the league. So,
yeah, they have a pretty decent running back and they don't seem to use him at all. So,
yeah,
sure. I would say they have three mediocre running backs.
I think Singletary, put him on any other team that actually uses their running back when they're up by 30 points and he does a lot better.
Fine. What I'll give you is Singletary. You know how there's like medium rare plus, which is in between medium rare and medium. Singletary is mediocre plus.
Okay. Let's see. Rams, they haven't made the last offer to Odell to come back to LA.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's that story headline that I saw. That's from Sean McVay, a quote.
I mean, the problem right now isn't their receivers, it's their quarterback and their line.
What the hell is going on with Matt Stafford?
Part of it's Stafford, most of it's the line, and also part of it is the way people are playing coverage. They don't have anybody that can take the top off of the defense. There's nobody that they send deep that they need to roll a safety to. So they're playing more of a shell. There's playing more of a Matt Stafford has to dink and dunk, get rid of the ball quickly, and he's not really that kind of quarterback. He's hand the ball off, get the running game going, then play action and goes to somebody deep, and nobody is open deep except Cooper Kupp in the intermediate areas, and, they're not running the ball.
And the running game has been awful.
Abysmal.
Is Cam Akers done?
I mean, Tyler can chime in, but we talked about him at the beginning of the year. It's a tough injury to come back from as quick as he did last year. He looked not good last year coming back. So the idea that he was going to turn it around in the offseason seemed wishful thinking at best.
Yeah, I don't know if you can get a good gauge on Akers just with how bad that line has been. So it's not like I'm going to say his career is over, but he's certainly not going to be in fantasy lineups the rest of the year.
Here's the last little entry on that. They miss Winthrop a lot more than they thought they would. Whitworth. Sorry. Him retiring, he was like the glue that held that line together. And with him gone, they're just kind of seem to be in disarray.
Matt Rhule, or no, I already said that. God damn. Dak is ruled out for the Eagles game here this Sunday. That's going to be another Cooper Rush game.
He's not entirely ruled out. It's just likely he's out.
This is going to be Cooper Rush's first test, I think, or first big test. Cooper Rush hasn't been great at avoiding the mistakes. Defenses just haven't been capitalizing on him. What he's been really good at is capitalizing when defenses make mistakes and when there's an open guy. So
I think this is by far the best defense he's going to face. And this very well could be the, oh, right, Cooper Rush is still Cooper Rush game.
Yeah. Though I thought, technically, I thought that would be the Rams game because I thought the Rams defense was going to be good enough. The problem was for the Rams that their offense was bad enough compared to Dallas's defense that that didn't matter. In this one, I think Philly's offense could be good enough to counter some of Dallas's defense. And then that, then like what you're saying is their defense is good enough that it will affect Dallas. I think it'll be a good close game, but I do think Philly wins.
Yeah. I'm scared of this game as a Dallas fan, but you know, Dallas's defense is for real.
Oh yeah.
This year. That's 100% true.
I mean, whose line is it anyway? What's the line on that game?
I don't know. No idea.
I'll pull it up. You can go into the next thing.
Bit of news here. I just wanted to say N'Keal Harry has his season debut. That's where I wrote womp womp. Who cares?
How is that a news?
Just because that's a note that Tyler sent me, so I figured I had to come in here.
I really wanted to put the fart sound somewhere in the podcast.
Oh. Yeah. Injuries. Let's see. Talking about quarterbacks first. Tua is still ruled out. Teddy Bridgewater, extremely unlikely to start in week 6. So we're looking at another week of Skylar Thompson, undrafted free agent, or undrafted rookie free agent for the Dolphins.
Yep.
And then Baker Mayfield has a high ankle sprain. That means, and Darnold's still not good to play. So that, like we said before, PJ Walker is starting the third stringer there as well. As we hit on anything else for our quarterbacks.
Yeah. I mean, with Baker, you know, we all thought, hey, you know, okay, last year with Cleveland, he was hurt. Like, that's why he was so bad. This year, in wide receivers with 20 targets and less than a 15 yard ADOT, there are four receivers under 60% catchable targets, and DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson on the Panthers are two of the four. So Baker has not been accurate at all this year. So, again, I don't think it can get worse than Baker. And, you know, I think there's a conversation. I don't know when Darnold is scheduled to be back, but I think that's a conversation when both of them are back.
No, I think you're right. And, Blake, to answer your question about any more quarterbacks, I guess the only other one that I know of is Russell Wilson, in that it came out. Now, maybe this is to make up for the fact that he's been so terrible, but evidently he's got a torn muscle in his shoulder,
mm-hmm.
that he got in week 4 and supposedly going to play through it, blah, blah, blah. So that's a thing that's doesn't really make you feel good. They were already playing terrible. And if he's got an injury too, it's like, you don't see them coming out of it anytime soon. And they've lost their best running back.
There's also the question of Jameis Winston in New Orleans. Is it another week of Andy Dalton and, you know, fuck around with Taysom Hill and find out?
I believe so, because like everybody else except for running back is hurt still. And now Olave may not even play.
Yeah, let's go into that. I go into receivers here because I wrote down, I mean, I was looking at injuries today. Fuck, the entire receiving core for the Saints is all messed up.
Yeah.
Word for word, what I wrote down is, Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry not practicing this week. Thomas with that toe injury. He's, you know, he was back the first 2 weeks and, you know, basically same thing. Michael Thomas is washed. He's done.
Yeah.
Talking about injury prone. But Olave caught a big deep pass in the end zone, went to sleep in the end zone, still caught the touchdown though. But in all seriousness, that was a scary to watch live. That was a scary concussion for Chris Olave.
Yeah.
Dude fully knocked out, fully waking up in the end zone, not sure where the hell he is.
If you ask the Dolphins team doctors, it's a back injury.
and he'll be back on the field Sunday.
Yep.
Now, he's probably, because of all the new emphasis because of the Dolphins doctor, it's almost as close to 100% that he's going to miss this week.
Yeah, a lot of these guys, and I don't have the exact guys in front of me, but I know a lot of these guys are like on step 3 of 5 through the concussion protocol. And if normally when we record, if you're on step 3 of 5, it's like, okay, yeah, 4 and 5 are easy. You should play. But that's not the case anymore with these new protocols. So, you know, until you know that they're in, you can't trust that they're in.
Right. Running backs. Start with the big one. Rashad Penny out for the year. Broken tibia.
Yeah.
Broke a bone in his leg. Unfortunate. Looking really good this year.
Yeah, but not the kind of injury that he's had in the past. I mean, a break is a break. That's just a bad luck thing. It is, you know, a leg, which is obviously, you know, because you're running back, that's usually where it's going to happen is waist down. But usually it's been a soft tissue thing. So this one's just one of those things. I mean, you can't, it's too bad that it happened to him, but you can't begrudge him a broken leg. I mean, he can't control that.
No, I'm trying to find it because I saw a tweet about his injury. There was more damage than just the broken leg that they had to go.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And if I can find that tweet, I will update you guys when I find
it. Okay. So Rob, last running back I have here talking about Damian Harris. I wasn't going to include this because I know it was, you know, the initial report was his hamstring injury going to leave him out for multiple weeks. But I saw a thing today that said he was practicing but limited. So I was like, what the hell? But so it still says he's going to be out for multiple weeks. So let me know what you got about that.
So it all depends what kind of hamstring injury it is. The Patriots are very, very close to the vest when it comes to injury news, as we well know. So the fact that it's limited lets me believe that it's a more of a minor hamstring injury and that maybe he will just be out this week. I don't know when their bye is, to be fair. But if it was next week, then that would give him 2 weeks and then he would be back to the usual rotation the week after. I don't see him missing. This isn't like the Perry situation where, you know, Walker is now going to be the bell cow there. And the other, you know, Dallas and the rest of those guys are going to keep the same roles. This isn't going to be Ramondre Stevenson taking over, though he was taking over more of the work anyway with Harris in there. He's not going to be, you know, an 80% guy, a bell cow. Harris is still going to be there, and he's not going to be gone all year or anything. Just maybe a week or two, would be my guess.
I do disagree on that one. I think Ramondre takes a big step up these next couple of weeks as far as in that injury.
No, I think he does take over the backfield, but I don't think that it's like – I don't think it's like the Seattle situation where the guy's just the undisputed number one.
Yeah.
I think he – But when you started the season, it was like Harris was going to get maybe more of the carries. Ramondre was starting to fill in a little bit. Maybe you're talking 60-40. I think that swaps. I think it's 60-40 Ramondre going forward.
And update on Penny. Penny also had a deltoid ligament tear along with, it says the high ankle and fibula fracture. Ooh. So I think they did the surgery that they would do for a major high ankle sprain to fix the fibula. And fix the deltoid ligament. So,
mercy. So that is a lot.
Yeah, and so they said it's not necessarily surprising, but it's not obviously good news that they found all of that.
Right.
Yeah. All right, that's all I got. If you guys are good to go, we can move into my over-unders.
Oh, let's do it.
Hello. Do you want to play a game?
All right, this week's episode is titled, Look at Me. Look at me. I am the captain now. As we are talking, this week's episode, the theme is running backs who, by mainly injury, have taken over a backfield, and they are the captain of that running game now. Ramondre Stevenson's on here, and Ken Walker's on here, but we're starting off with a running back that we talked about last week, Melvin Gordon. Taking over the backfield in Denver, that abysmal shit show. This week, Melvin Gordon is playing at the Los Angeles Chargers. Last week, he had total yards of 103 versus the Colts. This week versus the Chargers, is he going to have over or under 100 total yards?
Yeah, I'll go first. I think he's going to have over. This Chargers team is absolute dog shit against the run. They're the best matchup against fantasy running backs. And so if you tell me that Melvin is going to go up from 50 yards to 75 rushing yards, then I think he gets those receiving yards easy.
Rob?
Yeah, I'm going to take the under. Strictly because until I see this Denver offense be consistent in what they should do, what they actually do is kind of the opposite of that. So I'm not going to put any credence into Denver at this point. So I'll go under.
All right, next up, Ramondre Stevenson. Like we talked about before, he's definitely going to get all the bulk of the work this week for sure.
Yeah.
Patriots are playing at Cleveland this upcoming week. Last week, Cleveland, I believe, played against the Chargers, and Eckler gashed them for so many points. Last week in a game that Damian Harris went down, Ramondre Stevenson ended with 24 fantasy points in our format, 161 yards on the ground. Does Ramondre Stevenson get over or under 25 fantasy points this week in our format?
Ooh. I mean, I guess that really depends on if he scores. He was playing against Detroit, who's one of the worst run defenses. He ran for, like you said, a buck 61 and only got 24 points because he only got two catches. You know, they like to spread that love around there in New England.
Yeah, we're talking about a bad Cleveland run defense.
I know. We're also talking about probably playing the third string quarterback again. So it depends if he scores. I mean, if he scores, then obviously I think he can approach that. I'm going to go under because I think I'm going to be underdog boy today. So I'll go under.
Over.
All right. Yeah. I mean, it's a fun way of asking, do you buy a touchdown for Ramondre this week?
Yeah, I think especially since they're starting the third string quarterback again, this could be one of those Jonas Gray games where they go, hey, Ramondre, do you want to score four times just I mean, out of nowhere?
Like, it's highly possible.
You know that they are going to do that once this year, right?
Yeah.
And what better time than right now where your lead back went down, your starting quarterback is out, like hand the rock to Ramondre and let him eat.
Yeah.
All right, lastly, like I said, we got Ken Walker. Ken Walker is playing versus Arizona. As we know, their defense is last week, Ken Walker, you know, mid-game, Rashad Penny goes down. He ended with 8 carries for 88 yards and a touchdown. This week, I'm asking you, is he over under 12 touches for 120 total yards?
So he has to have both of them.
Sure. Why not?
I'm going to say under. I think he's going to be way over on the touches, but I don't think he gets to the yardage because I think that he's not going to be as efficient. And so I don't think he gets there, but I think he goes over on the touches. And he is not a factor in the passing game almost at all. It's not that he can't do it, but they have other guys that they trust to do that more.
100% agree. And that's the reason I don't think he gets the yardage. He'd have to break a bunch of long ones, which I don't know that he'll do. I think he'll be good. But yeah, I agree with Tyler on both of those.
All right. That was my fun one for the week. I saw 8 for 80. I was like, 12 for 120. Why not? Yeah. It makes sense.
The one I'm iffy on is Ramondre. He could go over, but I had to go opposite since I did it in the first one.
All right. And then just to round this segment out, last week, you guys were correct across the board. Woo-hoo! I mean, that was an easy one. That was the 300 club. The only person over 300 yards passing was Tom Brady. Jared Goff and Geno Smith were under. Thank you, Lions, for being depressing overall. Let's go into transactions.
This shit's unbelievable. I checked the accounts receivable. It's inconceivable to think that you would fuck with me on the brink of my transactions.
Transactions is the next segment.
You had an entire bumper to get ready for this.
I know. I have the website pulled up, but my Microsoft Excel had a fucking panic attack that I wasn't signed into my Microsoft account. So, alrighty. Transactions. Here we go. I don't think we didn't have any trades or anything, so we can go straight into our offers report here.
Well, there was one done Sunday.
There was?
Yeah. Yep.
What was done on Sunday that I didn't see? Oh, yes, that's right. I remember this drunk trade happening. Sunday, trade between the Flygos Fly and the Kegerator. Kegerator trades Kyle Pitts, 2 Fly Eagles in return for Zeke Elliott and Dawson Knox. Guess Tyler, break this one down, and then we'll talk to Rob.
Yeah, I mean, this one is exactly how I broke it down Sunday. I still feel the same way. Rob is getting the upside in Kyle Pitts, and Nate is filling a hole that he has in his running back room. And he didn't need Kyle Pitts. It was just an upside play for him. So flipping him for somebody else we talked about it last podcast that was something he should do. However, I'm thinking more and more that Zeke is washed. And so I'm trying to get out of any and all Zeke shares that I have across all formats.
Yeah, I'm hesitant still to say that Zeke is washed after watching him run this year, like watching the Cowboys games. He looks good.
Zeke has negative, I believe it's negative 0.5 or negative 0.7 yards over expected. So he's averaging like a yard less than he should be. And Pollard is 2.5 yards above expected right now.
Well, I think that falls into just the usage of the running backs. Pollard is more slippery. He's more agile than Zeke is. But I think you're not giving Zeke the opportunities that he's had in years past. And so you're not being able to see that the wearing down of defenses. Like I'm probably going to get hate for this comparison, but I always thought of Zeke as a Marshawn Lynch type runner where you just run him at the defense all game long. He wears him down and then he starts breaking through in the second half. Zeke's not getting that kind of opportunity in these games that Dallas is playing. They're switching to Pollard a lot more often. And so the whole point of this is I don't think Zeke is washed per se. I think the usage in Dallas's offense has gone away from the bruising Zeke running. But the thing I wanted to say in my breakdown of this whole trade is Nate is always looking for a hole to fill, and he's always looking to fill that hole with Zeke in every fantasy matchup. He's always ends up with him. Go, Nate.
He does. He likes to fill it with Zeke, yeah.
So basically how rushing yards over expected works is they take out every other player on the field and they say basically where the defense is lined up, how long would it take them to get to the running back, right? And that's how it's matched up. So yeah, if Pollard is getting less heavy boxes, stuff like that, he'll have a higher expected yards, but he's still exceeding that, whereas Zeke in heavier boxes would have a lower expected yards and is still not performing up to that.
Okay, I'm talking about the way that I'm observing the running back run. He doesn't look bad. He looks better running the ball than he did last year.
I will agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
Because he was hurt last year.
Fucked up knee.
Right. Yep. All right. That's enough of Zeke.
Yeah. Just, Rob, short explanation how you feel about the whole trade.
I mean, you guys hit it on the head there. I was getting out of Zeke because I have him in another league. I didn't want him in two. And I decided I had a chance at an upside play for tight end. And so I made it. You know, I hope he actually plays this week and starts to do better, but whatever.
All right, so waivers ran, and we've had more additions than we did last week. So start at the bottom here. Ben Skowronek, I never know how to say that name. Added to Here's Tubby for $0, dropping Mecole Hardman. Noah Brown added to the Shockers, dropping Kenny Pickett. I don't know why you even added Kenny Pickett.
Pickles.
Or I don't know why you would be disappointed in his game last week, if that's why you dropped it. Dontrell Hilliard added to Tubby, also for $0. Backdoor Hot Snakes. I added the Bengals defense. I don't remember who they were playing. Why did I pick them? Oh, they're playing at New Orleans this week.
Right, and New Orleans is going to be without half their team again.
Yes. Dropping Jared Goff because I don't need him. Reapers adding the Patriots defense, dropping the Dolphins defense for $3. Taysom Hill added to the Snakes for $11. I dropped Craig Reynolds. Had a bevy of unsuccessful bids for Taysom Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And then Eno Benjamin at the top of the chart here added for $19 to Testicle T, dropping Caleb Huntley, who he also spent money on last week.
Yeah, what do you think of that? You throw 19 at a guy and drop a guy you just threw 16 at? I think it was 16.
I think that's a classic Nick is what that
is. Yeah, no, exactly. That's the Nick special.
Okay.
Who needs this fab now when I can get it in trades later?
Right.
Not right. From this cowboy. I'm out of that. Who needs
fab now when I can trade my good players to get more of it?
Let's see. I don't know. Tyler, Rob, you guys want to break down these at all? You got anything that you always want to talk about Taysom Hill or the bids put out on Eno Benjamin?
I mean, to me, Eno Benjamin's a speculative play, just depending on Connor. You know, he has been dinged up this year. Last year, he surprised. This is what we kind of thought he would be last year, which is why, you know, people took his backup last year in drafts, but it didn't turn out that way. So that's why Eno's going, because it looks like he's taking that number two spot. Taysom's really the talk of wires across all leagues this week, because the tight end landscape is really two guys and then maybe Tyler Higbee and then a bunch of hot garbage that hasn't panned out or is hurt or whatever. I mean, Taysom Hill's like what the number, I don't even know what he is in our league. That he's got to be a top five tight end, right?
I think he's number three.
Yes. Number three. Yeah. That's gross. So playing him, I mean, and many people have said this, you're willing to take the two or the three or the goose to get the 30. And if you're willing to ride that out, if you got the team that can ride those points out, he's a good pickup. So
yeah, he certainly has more upside than, I mean, pretty much any of the other, you know, 6 to 12, you know, number 6 to number 12 tight ends. Yeah, right. Yeah. So yeah, if you want the upside there, go for it. I have no problem with it.
And as long as Jameis Winston's not playing and all the receivers are still out, I mean, they got to get weird down there. So
right, I mean, I thought my $0 bid was going to get it, but evidently not.
I do like how you put a $0 bid in on the two highest bid players. This week. You know, solid moves there, Rob.
Well, since I have $0, that's all I could do.
I forgot you were out of money. Like
I'm out of money.
All right, guys, that's all I got. By the way, ready to move into our matchup breakdown? No, by the way, you get
that's fine. Nothing. Fine.
Go Bulldogs!
Yeah, Bulldogs!
Wow.
Not so fast!
All right, and to update everybody on the standings, we had one person go 5-0 last week. Anybody want to take a guess on who it was?
The dice.
It was the dice.
Ah. Go dice.
So the dice went 5-0. Rob and I went 3-2, and Blake went 2-3. So that brings the standings to Rob at 15-10, the dice at 14-11, and me and Blake at 13-12.
Oh God, I'm beating the dice by one.
And we're losing to the dice by one.
Hell yeah, brother.
And to update from our bet from last podcast, Rob and I bet that whether Pickens would be the best fantasy option for Pittsburgh's receiving core. Rob said no. I said yes. And if everyone was under 5 points, it would push. Pickens was the top option in that receiving core with a little over 11 points. So Rob has increased his losses in the dollar bet account to $3. Blake is at $1. I'm at $2 up.
Go team.
Am I a dollar up or one
yep.
down? One up.
Yeah, one up on one bet.
Hell yeah, brother. That means we've had three bets and I've lost them all.
No, you have bet four, or you've bet three times. Blake has bet one. I've bet four times.
Got it.
All righty. So nice. Yeah, first matchup here. We're going to break down the 4-1 Hot Snakes hosting the 1-4 Scary Terry. Terry looking real good, getting his first win going into last week. And then Geno Smith, and he should not have done that. What a silly move.
Yeah, but he won, so who cares?
Not last week. He lost.
Oh, you're right. Never mind.
I got the dice this week. We're rolling a D10. Let's go over and break these down. So,
right.
Snakes. Currently favored to lose, 124 to 138. I will be throwing out Tom Brady at Pittsburgh, quarterback versus Scary Terry, getting right and putting Geno Smith back in, home against Arizona.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Right now, it's Geno. Geno's been a top 10 quarterback each of the last 4 weeks, I think. And yeah, Brady always has the upside, but he has broken out the last 2 weeks. I think he comes back down to earth a little bit. I think they try to get the running game going a little bit more. So I'm going to go Geno here.
I mean, Brady is very good at Pittsburgh, and I think he's like 7-2 in the last 9 games against them, something to that nature. I don't like him as much on the road as I would as if this was in Tampa. It's real close. And Geno's been so hot lately. And see, nothing goes down with Walker in there. So, yeah, give me a slight edge to Geno, just a slight. I think it's really even, though.
All right, running backs. I've got Dalvin Cook at Miami and Travis Etienne at Indianapolis, thanks to Derrick Henry being on bye, versus Terry with Leonard Fournette at Pittsburgh and David Montgomery home against Washington.
Wow. I mean, I do like Cook at Miami, but will Minnesota actually run the ball or they play like idiots again? Etienne has been doing well lately. Montgomery came back and like pretty much took over that backfield. You know what? And I hate Washington. They're awful. And Pittsburgh's defense is bad. Give me Fournette and Montgomery. I think they have the edge here.
Yeah, I'm going to go Fournette and Montgomery. I don't think Washington's defense is as bad as they look against the run because they did just face Tennessee and gave up 102 and 2 to the Yeti. So I think they're a little bit better than the stats would say. But yeah, I just don't believe in ETN. His best game this year is only, let's see, 14 points. And he's had 3 weeks, 3 out of 5 weeks in single digits. So I can't bet on him in your starting lineup until he shows something.
Okay. I think I'm going to bank on the upswing from last week and kind of hope that continues to happen. That's why he's up in there.
Something in your favor. And the reason I said that he has been doing well lately is that Robinson has had two subpar games in a row versus the prior three. He hasn't scored those short touchdowns, that kind of thing. So if ETN ever gets those looks inside the 10, you know, the whole thing changes down there. And then you've got something. But, you know, I get what Tyler's saying. But I think ETN does have upside this week against the Colts, who seem to have a problem this year playing football.
Yeah. I know we're talking too much here, but it's either ETN or Carter. And I'm going to take the upside with ETN. So
I would too, because Carter's getting phased out of that team. So.
All right, so wide receivers, and I'll just get ahead of this here. We might talk a little bit more, or you might hear more from me because Tyler had to step away for a little bit. So we're trucking forward with what we got. Rob, what I have at receiver here is Michael Pittman, or not, Jesus Christ.
Somebody's got Pittman on the brain.
That's the off-screen talk coming in. I've got Mike Evans at Pittsburgh, and George Pickens home against Tampa Bay. That's a problem. Versus Terry with Deebo Samuel at Atlanta and DK Metcalf home against Arizona.
I mean, all right, my first thought, you know, we talked about Pickens, that he was the leading receiver. against a good defense in the Bills, a great defense, let's say, and he was the leading receiver with 11 fantasy points. I don't see him getting much more against a very good Tampa defense.
You're talking about George Pickens right now?
I am talking about Pickens right now.
Six catches on 8 targets for 83 yards for 14 points. I mean, that's a solid performance.
Why did Tyler tell me he had 11 then?
I don't know, because he's stupid.
Okay, fine. I mean, 14's decent. I don't see him doing much better against Tampa. Mike Evans should do good against Pittsburgh. Debo should eat like a crazy person against Atlanta. And I like the DK Geno stack against Arizona. So I'm going to give the edge slightly to Debo and DK.
Oh, makes me sad.
I'm sorry. And it's just because even though Pickens is up and coming, he also is a rookie.
All right. Our most exciting tight end matchup of the week is Snakes with Taysom Hill home against Cincinnati versus Zach Ertz at Seattle for Terry.
Oh my God. I mean, so Zach Ertz, I mean, Seattle's a terrible defense. Zach Ertz should actually do well. He would probably get 6 catches for 67 yards and a possible touchdown. But Taysom Hill could get
so much.
Did you hear what they said today, the coaching staff? We are going to get Taysom more carries.
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
And you said it earlier, the Saints have offensive issues this week. They have to get it from somewhere. I think if you're looking for a floor, it's Zach Ertz. If you're looking for upside, it's Taysom Hill.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Ertz's floor is literally 10 points. He's the most consistent tight end 5 of all time this year.
Correct.
So I like the play. I wish I had one. If I had a consistent 4 tight end, I'd be playing him instead of Taysom Hill. But boy, is it going to be exciting to watch the Saints this Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Flex positions here. Snakes. I've got Drake London home against San Francisco and Gabe Davis at Kansas City versus DJ Moore at the Rams and Pratt Freiermuth home against Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Pratt Freiermuth. He has too many R's there.
Pat.
Pratt. Anyway, it's easy, even though Atlanta seems to not be able to figure out how to use Drake London and Kyle Pitts properly. I believe, and San Francisco's a good defense. I'm going to take Gabe Davis and Drake London over DJ Moore, who was terrible with the starter. I have no idea what he'll be like under PJ Walker. There's a chance that this could be a DJ Moore coming out party, that PJ Walker suddenly gets him the ball. But I don't think you can depend on that in fantasy. And Tampa does a good job usually against tight ends, I think. Or I could be wrong there, but I don't care. It's London and Davis for me.
Yeah, no way to know. Defenses here, Snakes with Bengals at New Orleans versus the Packers home against the Jets. The Jets are 2-0 with Zach Wilson.
Yeah, and they're actually – their offense is way more varied. They're passing the ball around a lot more instead of always to Tyler Conklin, like they did when he was out.
Talk.
Boom. And on top of it, they found their running game by playing Breece Hall.
Yeah, and the Packers losing to the Giants in London last week can't be a good look for them.
Right, and we've already talked about how New Orleans is without half of their – offense, it's the Bengals here.
Okay. Rob, talk to me about what Scary Terry can do with their bench, and then I'll break down my team.
Well, I mean, the big scary on Scary Terry's bench is Najee Harris. But he has not been good. He had that foot injury earlier in the year, and they're not saying so, but I think it's affecting him. Plus, Tampa is like really good against the run, so I get why he's not playing him. You can't play Smith-Schuster. You can't play Gibson with Robinson back. Claypool's hot garbage. And the rest of these guys are, you know, Jalen Warren might be a guy down the way if they finally decide to sit Najee. But with the two of them playing, you can't really play either one. So
yeah, and Tomlin came out earlier and said, hey, Warren is going to get more snaps. And now we've never seen that from a Tomlin offense. But, I mean, if they start splitting snaps, that certainly doesn't bode well for either one of them.
A surprise Tyler comment. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tyler in on his phone. Well, he's in the car, so we'll see how that quality plays out.
I'm for sure not going to be able to, A, the quality is going to suck, and B, I'm for sure not going to be able to make any picks because I cannot see the matchup. So I'm just going to comment when I feel like it.
All right, sounds good. It's like you're listening to the podcast, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. Talking about my team, I mean, there's not a ton I can do here just because – I've got Cooks and Henry out on bye. My other options, I mean, I could play safe, go Hayden Hurst into tight end, but where's the fun in that when I could play Taysom Hill instead? Otherwise, I'm probably not playing Josh Palmer. He doesn't break my lineup this week, and I've got nothing really to do unless I want to play the Cowboys at Philly, which I don't want to do.
Yeah. They have been great fantasy because – you know, they've returned things for touchdowns and all that, but it's a tough call against Philly. But watch them put up a 18 spot on them anyway.
Right. Watch them just completely shut them down. Pick off Jalen Hurts twice, once for a
return
pick
a fumble, sack fumble. Yeah. From our lips, please. So
I will gladly take the fantasy disappointment of not starting the Cowboys defense so the Cowboys can beat the Eagles. I'll pay that price.
That would be awesome. Yes. All right.
All right, so let's go dice first since they are basically in the lead. Dice roll a 6. You always have to remind me, even as away team, right?
Correct. So they're taking Terry.
So
it's on the spreadsheet, buddy.
You're right, it is. Dice will be taking Terry. Got to type this in. Okay. Rob, you're next.
I'm next?
You're next.
You know what? I'm going to take the snakes to go to 5-1. I think the difference between the quarterbacks and the difference between the running backs, it's made up later. So yeah, give it to me. I don't think any of the differences are that large, which is why you have a decently close matchup. But I think you can take it. So
I believe in myself. I believe in the heart of the snakes, and so we're going to take me.
There you go. And Tyler's filling in these later, I guess.
Yep. Or Tyler can make a driving heart pick right now.
Yeah, heart pick.
Yeah, no, I literally only know who you guys are playing at quarterback and running back, so I am not even going to try to make a pick.
I'll just do it anyway. It's 50-50 anyway. Who gives a shit?
We could tell you quick.
I mean, just purely based on record, I would have to go Blake, right? Because he,
right.
What, 4-1 and Chris isn't?
Chris
is pretty bad. Is
Tyler's official pick. Got it.
However, didn't I pick Chris for both quarterback and running backs?
Yes,
you did.
Yeah. So I am officially abstaining until later on.
All right. Well, your official thing is snakes. Got it. Moving on to our next matchup. It is here's Tubby sitting at 3-2 versus the also 3-2 Iowa Corn Wieners.
Tubby Wieners.
Currently, the Wieners are favored 135 to 131. Close matchup here.
Very much.
Tubby, at quarterback, has Jalen Hurts. In that Dallas game, Hurts is at home versus Wieners with Kirk Cousins at Miami.
I mean, simply put, Cousins has a better matchup on paper than Hurts does. But yes. Hurts is a much better quarterback. So based on that, I'm going to give the edge to Hurts. But, you know, spoiler alert, not surprised if it goes the other way, because if Kirk Cousins at a noon game can take advantage of a weaker defense that is going to be probably on their third quarterback, there's a chance he can do some damage.
Yeah. You got to go Hurts here just with the upside of his methods of scoring fantasy points.
Right, and Dallas has a problem with running quarterbacks. And
yes, always
it's very possible he could run for a 30-yard touchdown real easy.
Yeah. But that said, Sam, with the Corn Wieners, you can't feel bad about starting Kirk Cousins this week.
No.
Definitely better than your other option in Aaron Rodgers.
100%.
Running backs here, Tubby has James Conner at Seattle and Raheem Mostert home against Minnesota versus Aaron Jones home against the Jets and Breece Hall at Green Bay. Boy, you got to feel good about drafting Breece Hall now.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. I mean, rookies generally break out in the later half of the season. And actually, Raheem Mostert did not practice today. So not confident he's going to start. So I'm going to swing the other way here.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's Jones and Hall. Connor, we already talked about why people would pick up, you know, Benjamin and spend the money on him because there's a chance Connor is out again, even though it's against a tasty Seattle matchup. And Mostert, like you said, all kinds of lower leg injuries in the past. And he's already nicked up after getting the heavy work last week. So, yeah, you got to give me Hall, who's fresh legs, coming off a great game. And Aaron Jones, who gets a lot of the passing work. And the Jets aren't that great a defense.
Agreed. Moving into receivers, Christian Kirk had a down week last week. Jacksonville as a whole down week. They are playing at Indianapolis this week, who, as we said, is bad at football.
Yeah.
Isaiah McKenzie also in this wide receiver lineup for Tubby. They are at Kansas City. Isaiah McKenzie missing last week, not clearing the concussion protocol. Am I correct?
He's fine now. He's not.
That's why he didn't play last week.
Yeah. I don't remember if it was a,
I think it was, okay. And then receivers for Corn Wieners is Justin Jefferson at Miami as well. Stacking with Kirk Cousins and then Jacoby Myers. I like to say Jacoby.
I know. You
They are at Cleveland. Jacoby Myers doing pretty well when he's played this year. Last week, 7 of 8 for 111 against a bad Detroit defense and a touchdown. Cleveland's not that much better.
I mean, yeah, like you said, he missed 2 games with a knee injury. He's questionable with that again. If he's cleared and plays, I mean, he's a great, you know, we're in a PPR. He's a great PPR guy. He's probably getting, you know, 8 to 10 looks. And of those, you know, he's going to catch 80% of them. And Justin Jefferson is obviously the king of this group. I do like McKenzie against Kansas City, but, you know, give me Jefferson and Myers.
100% agree. I think Jacoby Myers keeps up. I don't think he gets above 100 every game, but I think his floor is pretty solid. Christian Kirk and the Jacksonville offense should eat against the Colts, who are not good.
Correct.
Tight ends, Mark Andrews, he's one of those two guys in the tight end group that we talked about earlier. They are at the Giants. And then Tyler Conklin for the Wieners is at Green Bay.
Yeah, it's Andrews all day long. Conklin, I even mentioned it earlier when I said that Conklin was getting all the looks before their starting quarterback, their actual franchise quarterback, got back. Into the fold, and it hasn't been the same for him. So they're actually diversifying. So he's not what he was, obviously. And Andrews is going to, he's that number one, number two guy.
Yeah. Conklin with Joe Flacco, 7 targets, 9 targets, 8 targets, and then 5 on Zach Wilson's first game back. And then 1 last week against Miami.
Yeah. There's just, yeah.
Flex, Jerry Jeudy at the Chargers and Brandon Ayuk at Atlanta. That's the pair of the number 3 receivers for Tubby versus Tyler Lockett home against Arizona and Curtis Samuel at Chicago for Corn Wieners. This is an easy matchup, but say what you will about it.
I mean, it's Lockett and Samuel. Jeudy and Ayuk make the all underperforming team. We thought that Jeudy would do something in Denver, but because there's only so much terrible to go around, it's all Sutton that's getting the looks there, and Judy's limited to 3 targets downfield per game, completely over his head or at his feet. And Ayuk, when you play with Deebo Samuel, you're taking a backseat.
Yeah, and Tyler Lockett, quietly up until last week having a pretty good year. And then we all kind of took notice last week on his 5 catches for 2 touchdowns and 104 yards, especially with the Geno Smith blowing up. So,
yeah,
Yeah, Tyler Lockett all of a sudden a good fantasy play.
Yeah, which is crazy. You didn't think that, you know, at draft time.
Right. Defenses, the Eagles home against Dallas and the Rams home against Carolina.
I mean, under normal circumstances, okay, so this is easy. You kind of touched on it. The Eagles are a very good defense. But Dallas, or I should say Tyler touched on this earlier, that Dallas, the way they're playing with Cooper Rush, they're limiting the percentage chance for turnovers.
They're decreasing the uh-ohs.
The odds. Yeah, they're decreasing the odds for uh-ohs. I mean, the Rams are still an okay defense. They haven't been great, but come on. Against Carolina, and they're on a third-string quarterback, they should chew in this game, especially at home at SoFi. So, yeah, please.
All righty. Rob, why don't you go ahead and take Tubby's bench, and then we'll talk about the corn meter's bench.
All right. So,
a lot of buys looking at Tubby here.
And see, that's the problem. There's a lot of buys. I'm not putting Hines or Gage in. I'm not putting in Smooches or Skonrick. And so that's pretty much it. So he's playing his optimal lineup, which is why Judy and Ayuk are in there, because he can't play Adams or Josh Jacobs or Hockenson or anybody like that. So it is what it is.
All right, so looking at the corn wieners, I mean, at first glance, Ramondre Stevenson is on this bench right now.
Yeah.
He has to, 100% has to be in the starting lineup. The question is where.
Yeah.
I would propose to you, is it Aaron Jones or Curtis Samuel?
It is Curtis Samuel, 100%. I know that this team is in love with Curtis Samuel because he came out of the gate hot. But the problem is with the problems that Washington has, his role hasn't changed throughout. They've had injuries here, injuries there. His role stays the same. It's never increasing. It's going to stay the same. Curtis Samuel doesn't have that big wow upside. He has good steady Eddie for you, where especially this week, we talked about it. Harris might not be out a long time, but this week he probably will be. This is the time against this team to play Ramondre Stevenson and get the most you can get out of him. So I would be putting him in for Curtis Samuel, 100%.
Yeah, I'd say it's almost criminal if you keep Ramondre Stevenson on your bench this week.
Right. I mean, I can see why you want to play Lockett, because he has been just amazing. And, you know, you just want to ride that wave while you can. And I'm not taking Hall out. And against the Jets, I'm not taking Jones out. I'm sorry. So, yeah, I think that's what you got to do.
Let's talk about tight end. So, like I said, Conklin last week, one target, and he didn't catch that target. I mean, that's a gooser for your tight end. Do you throw Gesicki in there? Who hasn't scored more than four, but once.
You can't. You can't. 1-4-4 your last 3 weeks.
I mean, 4 points is better than zero, is it not?
I mean, I guess, but no, I can't.
All right.
I hate both, but, you know.
All right, go ahead. I'll take this matchup. I believe in the corn wieners. So I'm going to take them.
Okay.
Go ahead and take your pick here.
Wieners also.
Wieners. And then the dice. We're going to roll a three, which means that they take
Tubby.
The Tubby Meister. All right. Next matchup is the Fighting Hedgehogs at home, sitting at 1-4 versus Tyler's Fantasy Reapers at 2-3 after an embarrassing loss last week by the Reapers.
Oh, just embarrassing.
Tyler, we looked it up during Sunday's games. Tyler, each week since week one through week five, has decreased the amount of total points at the end of his fantasy
week. And what was his total points last week, Blake?
86, I believe.
Okay, so if he keeps on par of what he's done, he's going to score 75 this week.
Yeah, that'd be so hilarious.
If he actually scores under 80, I don't know what I'll do. Get drunk on Sunday again, I guess.
Yeah, drunk on a Sunday. All right. Currently, the Hedgehogs, or not the Hedgehogs, the Reapers are favored here, 148 to 138.
Okay.
Hedgehogs are going to throw out Kyler Murray at Seattle versus Tyler Zach Wilson at Green Bay.
Kyler. Even though they played terrible, Seattle is like a mother's milk to a struggling offense. And they're just like, nom, 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 nom. Give me some of that. So, Kyler Murray.
What are you, Michael Irvin?
I am doing all those things.
Running back. Ooh, I have a counter offer in Dynasty.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but I'm worrying about it. Running backs. Fighting Hedgehogs have Joe Mixon at New Orleans and J.K. Dobbins at the Giants versus Reapers Barkley, Saquon Barkley home against Baltimore and Christian McCaffrey at the Rams. This matchup is easy. We don't need to talk about it. I want you to talk to me about J.K. Dobbins, though. What do you think about him just kind of in general going forward?
I mean, going forward, I think he increases his workload and increases his effectiveness the more time between the injury and today. So that's it. Joe Mixon, with the amount of carries he's had, if he was efficient with those and if their line was actually good, he would be doing better than like anybody. He would be the number one running back because he's had more opportunities than like anybody. I think he has the most carries, but he's done dog shit with them. Where Nick Chubb has had a lot of carries, but he's like, or not even as many carries, excuse me, but he's averaging like 6.5 yards a carry and has like 7 touchdowns. Which is why he's leading the league in points.
All righty. Receivers. Jamar Chase at New Orleans and A.J. Brown home against Dallas for the Hogs versus CeeDee Lamb at Philly and Jalen Waddle home against Minnesota for Reapers.
So I got to give this to Chase and Brown. I think every week I give it to Chase and Brown, but especially this week, CeeDee Lamb is probably going to get slated in this game. Philly's very good at taking out a team's number one receiver, which CeeDee Lamb is, which is why I'm worried about this game. And Waddle is who the hell knows what's happening there with the third string quarterback. So I got to go Chase and Brown here.
I agree. Chase is due for a bounce back game and hopefully they can figure it out against New Orleans. And A.J. Brown, I mean, he'll be dueled up with Trevon Diggs.
Probably a lot of the time.
Especially in the slot, Diggs can get beat. And, I mean, we'll see what he can do down the field. Tight end Dallas Goedert, also in that Dallas game for the Hogs. You know how much he likes to stack up on the same team here. George Kittle at Atlanta for the Reapers, though.
I mean, it's a good matchup. I think Kittle can do things against Atlanta. They really haven't, since he's come back, they really haven't concentrated on him. You know, it's either been Debo or it's been, to be fair, Jeff Wilson, like it was this last game where he had 120-some yards rushing. They really haven't leaned on Kittle like they have in the past. But God, you're asking a lot to against a great Dallas defense, at least so far this year, to get, you know, boom performances out of your receiver and your tight end. For me, for Dallas, it's got to be one or the other. Either they let the receiver get loose or they let the tight end get loose over the middle. I mean, it's entirely possible both do, but it just seems rarer. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I'm going to call it here. Rob's big city pick is it's a Kittle breakout game. So give me Kittle.
All right. I don't know. I feel like it's the old adage of tight ends, especially Philly tight ends, do well against Dallas.
I'm hoping it's not that case.
Yes. Fantastic podcasting, burping into the microphone.
Love it.
Flex positions, Chris Godwin at Pittsburgh and Chris Olave, who's not going to be playing.
Probably not, no.
So that's an empty spot versus Jonathan Taylor probably coming back.
Probably.
From that, what is it, a knee injury? Ankle injury.
Yeah.
And Ken Walker, beautiful start this week for Tyler.
I mean, you kind of called it there. Olave's not going to play. And I don't care if he did. Give me a full Godwin, a full Olave. Jonathan Taylor and Walker are going to beat him anyway. So,
yeah, I do just want to say, if Taylor and the Colts get their act together, I don't like that Tyler has Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, and Jonathan Taylor on his team.
Well, no, I don't either, because they're probably running back, if you redrafted, running back 1, 2, and 3.
That yeah, makes that's... exactly one of us that doesn't not like that.
Because really what's supposed to happen is after I traded McCaffrey, who was supposed to get hurt.
Yeah, he's still working on it.
Maybe it'll be this week. I'm hoping.
Yeah, it's in the NFL script that McCaffrey must get hurt before week 9. So,
yeah. So, what, season ender this week, maybe?
Unsubscribe.
Yeah. Click that bell.
I'll pay all of the charges for that. Broncos defense at the Chargers for the Hogs versus the Patriots at Cleveland for Reapers.
I mean, I'll lean Patriots here. They have actually played good defense. And Cleveland, you know, they run the ball well. I don't know what the Patriots are going to take away on this team. But the Broncos have not been scary by any stretch. So I guess I'll lean Patriots.
I don't like defenses in general, so.
Yeah, so you're passing?
Passing. Rob, let's talk about the Hogs.
Yeah.
What are we looking at down here?
Well, we're taking Olave out for sure.
Yes.
Nobody else here has upside except Tony Pollard. I put him in at Philly, especially it's a Sunday night game. We've seen many times on primetime Pollard go nutty with a big touchdown. That's your shot here, especially when your favorite to lose.
So, I mean, I'm looking at Devin Duvernay. I mean, you're not favored to win. Duvernay has upside, and he's not guarded as tightly as, you know, some of the other receiving options in this offense for Baltimore.
The problem is, unless he catches touchdowns, he's worthless, pretty much. He's not going to get you over 60 yards receiving. He's not going to get you more than 5 catches. So what you're hoping on is 4 for 46 and a touchdown.
Yeah.
I want more than that to win, and I don't want to depend on a touchdown.
But Bateman is still not practicing.
Yeah, I get that.
All right, so Tyler, do you want to talk about your team, or do you want us to break it down?
Yeah, let me talk about my team with all of the screens that are in front of me.
Well, you're the one out of all of us who always memorizes what everybody else has. So,
Tyler has the aforementioned Rashawn Bateman, who hasn't practiced. I mean, you're not putting Njoku in or Everett instead of Kittle. You're not playing Elijah Moore because he hasn't shown anything. You're not playing Khalil Herbert because he's been replaced. And the rest of them are garbage. So he has his lineup in. There's nothing else he can do.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty locked in, you know, unless I decide to make a change at quarterback or well, I made the change at defense because the Patriots have been hot. And if you look at their next 5 games, would one of you guys read off their next 5 for me?
They're at Cleveland this week, home against Chicago, at the Jets, home against Indy, then a bye.
Right.
And then it's the Jets again, right?
Then it's correct. Jets again, then Minnesota.
Yeah, so I feel like I have my defense for the next, you know, 6 weeks sans the bye. So I feel pretty good about that. That's why I actually spent up to get them. But, yeah, other than that, I'm pretty locked in.
All right, so, Tyler, you want to make your heart pick?
Yeah, who are you taking in this one?
Yeah, I mean, I can make a pick here just because, like you guys said, with the 4 running back tandem I have, I just – don't know how anybody matches up with that when it comes to my running backs and my flexes. So I'm going to go with me, you know, until proven otherwise, I suppose. I my weakness is quarterback. If the other quarterback has a big game, I'm screwed.
Yeah. Also taking the Reapers.
Or when McCaffrey gets hurt this week.
Right? Let's see. The dice say Reapers.
Is that a 3? Is that a 3 reap?
That's a 3 bag for Reapers.
Yeah, 4 it.
Sorry, Hogs.
Yeah,
it's not going to one. Hot. Not looking great.
Going to 1-5.
Okay, next matchup is the Kegerator at 3-2 at home versus the 2-3 Fly Eagles Fly Rob Zone team.
Yeah.
Currently, Kegerator is favored 146-128. Hey, Rob, aren't I projected 128 as well?
I don't know, but this is the worst projection of the week as far as spread.
No, I projected 124. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. But at least the person you're playing against wasn't predicted 146.
Right. So let's see. The Kegerator is going to have quarterback Lamar Jackson at the Giants versus Jimmy Garoppolo at Atlanta. I like Garoppolo in his matchup at Atlanta, but it's Lamar against the Giants, and the Giants are able to be exposed by a good offense, which the Packers are not, who the Giants played last week.
Right.
So give me Lamar.
Yeah, I have to agree with you 100%.
Kegerator at running back has Austin Eckler blowing up the last couple of weeks. They are home against Denver, who's bad. And Alvin Kamara, who seems like the Alvin Kamara of old, at home against Cincinnati versus Jeff Wilson Jr. at Atlanta and CEH home against Buffalo. Sorry, Rob, but it's going to be Eckler Kamara.
I mean, it is. Well, Wilson should do fine against Atlanta, but it seems like they brought Eckler back into the game plan for the Chargers. And if Kamara is back, I mean, Cincinnati's a tougher test than they had last week on defense, but yeah, he's going to be the only offensive guy there besides Hill. So, yeah, you got to go Austin and Eckler here, especially with the Buffalo matchup for CEH. That's a tough road to hoe.
Receivers. By the way, I agree. It's Eckler and Kamara, faux show. I don't know if I said it before. I got shit going on my phone.
Shakira.
Tyreek Hill is going to be home against Minnesota, and Stephon Diggs is going to be at Kansas City for Kegerator versus Michael Pittman Jr. home against Jacksonville, soon to be mine, and Cortland Sutton at the Chargers for Fly Eagles Fly.
Oh my God, this is a paddling.
Yeah, I mean, Tyreek Hill is due for a bounce back, especially against Minnesota, who's going to be throwing the ball as well. And I mean, it's the same story for Buffalo at Kansas City. Diggs is going to eat a lot, and Gabe Davis should also eat a lot too.
Yeah, I mean, the thing here is your number one out of all these is Diggs. Diggs himself could beat Pittman and Sutton. I mean, Pittman and Sutton are just like put up decent amount of points. If Tyreek Hill does well, this is a killing. The only chink in the armor is that can't
say that.
Why? Dent in the armor is Tyreek Hill. You know, he came off the injury report. They're playing with a third string quarterback. Does he get the love? Is it Waddle? I don't know. So that's the only thing that's a positive for me. But otherwise, yes, I'm going to get murdered.
Yeah. The Buffalo at Kansas City game should be a very interesting one to watch.
Oh, here's the next matchup I might actually win.
Dawson Knox at Kansas City for Kegerator versus Kyle Pitts home against San Francisco.
Both terrible matchups.
Terrible. Kyle Pitts still limited in practice with that hamstring injury. No,
he's going to play. They already said he's going to play. He's fine. But Dawson Knox, we don't know. He's had a foot injury for 8 years. And even when he plays, he hasn't done dick. Of course, this will be the week he breaks out against me. He'll have two catches for 80 yards, and one of them's a 50-yard touchdown. Dawson Knox, take him.
Well, you see, Kyle Pitts and Dawson Knox in our league are tied at tight end 23.
Right, see?
So I don't think things change for Atlanta.
They tie?
I do think they will tie this week. But I'm going to give Dawson Knox the edge.
I am not. I'm going to go Kyle Pitts because I have to, or else I hate myself.
Flexes here. Devin Singletary at Kansas City. There's a lot of Bills in Nathan's lineup. And Nate's lineup here. Yeah, there's three in a row here.
Yeah.
Also, Devonta Smith home against Dallas. Eagles Fly. Rob, you have Romeo Dubs home against the Jets and Hollywood Brown. Have you always had Hollywood Brown?
Ever since I traded with traded McCaffrey away.
That's where that happened. Okay. Hollywood Brown is at Seattle.
So this is the only matchup I win. Love Romeo Dubs against the Jets. And Marquise Brown should eat like a crazy person against Seattle. Devontae Smith, it's either him or A.J. Brown against Dallas. I don't know. And Singletary, I don't really like him against Kansas City. So Dubs and Brown, the first time I win something.
Yeah, it is the first time. And it's going to be the you're going to win defenses too. But it'll be your only bright spots in this entire matchup. I'm sorry.
Yay, flexing defenses. It's what I live for.
The Bills at Kansas City for Kegerator, and then the Bucs at Pittsburgh for Eagles Fly. The Pittsburgh Steelers are in for a rough time the next several games.
Yeah, no, Rob is for sure not going to win defense because this is Bucs easy. Kenny Pickett, I mean, it's a rookie quarterback going up against a
real quarterback. He has the Bucs.
I have the Bucs. So why am I not going to win this?
That's what I get for flying in and trying to give commentary.
Yeah, way to get back in and just blake it up.
I really did blake it up, didn't I?
I'm not sure I like that.
I only did that because it's usually the intro you, Roger. Or,
what is that, an adverb?
Adjective.
That would be an adjective.
But you did it, by the way. Nobody said anything because he didn't.
That was the first time.
Good job on the intro, by the way. You did a great job.
No, he did flub it. I just didn't say anything about it.
He just stumbled on one word. It wasn't enough to do anything about.
I didn't flub it.
Anyway,
Tyler.
Tyler, you suck.
Yeah, Tyler does suck. Let's look at the Kegerator, Tyler. What can he do with this bench here? Is Jahan Dotson playing? Is he back? No, he's ruled out. He's ruled out for Thursday.
Yeah. I mean, Deontay Johnson. You could certainly think about getting Chase Edmonds in there, but probably not. Deontay Johnson, I don't know if you can play him until you see something other than Kenny Pickett get all the love. I mean, he did get 13 targets, but only 5 for 60. So I don't know. I think you have the best lineup possible here if you're Kegerator.
Hey, Rob, what are you thinking about your team here? With DeAndre Swift and Damian Pierce both on byes.
Yeah, so I have two, really good running backs, which is why I'm having to play. I mean, Wilson has been okay and CH is all right, but I don't like their matchups. But that's also why Dubs is in. I really don't have another choice. And like I talked to you last week, there's no way I'm sitting in that Russell Wilson camp again and collecting 15 points or 12 points and thinking that's great. So I made a pickup. I mean, the only other guy, maybe Gallup, because it's a, he does well on primetime games, but I'm not putting him in for Pittman or Sutton. And I like Dubs against the Jets a lot better. So I don't think I can really do anything. Best I can muster is 128 points. Sorry, kids.
All righty. I've got the dice taking the Eagles flying. I am going to take Kegerator here.
The dice are dumb.
Tyler, what are you thinking?
I'm going Kegerator here.
And Rob.
Oh, I have to go Kegerator. I mean, I have chances. I at the bottom of my lineup, I am better. I would have to have things. It's one of those matchups. I have to have everything go my way, and that hasn't happened this year. So barring injuries to people, I don't think I can win.
And just retconning here, I'm going snakes, and I'm going – The Iowa corn penises.
There we go. Oh, I think he agreed with us on those.
He did.
All right.
All right. Our final matchup is Testicle T sitting at 1-4, hosting the undefeated 5-0 Hawaiian Shakas.
And the longest Kamish Cup hold that we've seen ever in podcast history.
Yep. Truly a feat to behold. Currently, the Shakas are favored 149 to 121, to no one's surprise. Testicle T is going to have Josh Allen at Kansas City, probably the undisputed number one fantasy player in football right now. Really a testament to how bad Nick is as a manager that he's 1-4 with Josh Allen on his team. I'm sorry, Nick. That was uncalled for. You asked for none of it, but you got all of the smoke. Patrick Mahomes is going to be thrown out there by Hawaiian Shakas. He is home against Buffalo in that awesome game, supposedly.
Yeah, I mean, this is certainly the only quarterback this week that I could think would even go up against Josh Allen, but give me the guy who's been performing all year.
Yeah, 100% true. It's Josh Allen here. I'm sorry.
Okay, running backs. Testicle T has Brian Robinson at Chicago and Eno Benjamin at Seattle. I'm interested in your guys' take in the Washington running back room, but let me go through Shakas with Nick Chubb home against New England and Miles Sanders home against Dallas.
Well, I'll start this by picking. It's obviously Chubb and Sanders here. I mean, they're playing against the, you know, what, week 10 All-Stars, meaning these are guys that might do really well in a few weeks, but it's a little early for them to be like starters. But I don't think T has a chance. They're good upside guys, but not this week. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Robinson, they're already moving Antonio Gibson to kick and punt returns, as was their plan preseason. So, you know, that bodes well for him. Obviously, you guys talked about it in the brief part that I was listening to. Eno Benjamin is a speculative play. But yeah, I mean, you got two established guys in Chubb and Sanders, and Sanders has actually been getting all the love for Philly, which is surprising based on their usage the last couple of years.
Yeah, exactly.
Ready. Receivers here. Mike Williams home against Denver, doing pretty well with Keenan Allen out recently. Yep. And Adam Thielen at Miami. Shakas has Cooper Kupp home against Carolina and Terry McLaurin at Chicago.
I mean, I'm sorry, with Dodson out, and I actually didn't look at how McLaurin did last week with Dodson out.
He was on six targets for 76 yards, 12 points. Okay,
so his second highest in both receptions and yardage on the
season. Dyami Brown got the two long touchdowns last week for the Commanders.
Yeah, I mean, give me Kupp and McLaurin. I'm sorry.
You don't have to apologize.
It is Kupp and McLaurin. McLaurin, I don't think, does much better than he did last week. I think that's what you can expect out of him. But Kupp, I mean, he could be both Williams and Thielen, depending on the usage that Williams gets. I do like Thielen this week, so they might make it a little closer. But, yeah, it's Kupp and McLaurin.
I mean, Mike Williams, looking at it, last 2 weeks – 7 of 11 for 120, 10 of 13 for 134. I mean, he's getting a lot of yards on a lot of targets. And Thielen has stabilized around 7 targets per game the last 4 weeks. So, yeah. I mean, 7 or 8 targets a game. I don't know. McLaurin's usage this year, I think he's the worst fantasy receiver in this matchup. And does Cooper Kupp beat Williams and Thielen? I don't think so. So I'm going to go against you guys here.
All right.
My phone is on. Somebody's texting me. Tight ends. Tyler Higbee home against Carolina and Travis Kelce. Say no more. Shakas win with Travis Kelce.
Yeah, agreed.
Moving on into our flex here. Melvin Gordon at the Chargers for testicle T. You guys both took over 100 yards in for Gordon.
I took under.
Oh, you did take under. And then Will Disley in the flex for testicle T. That's no goo.
That's a have to play because I have 8 guys on bye.
Yeah, that dog's not going to hunt very well. No. Shakas have Amari Cooper home against New England and Garrett Wilson at Green Bay.
I mean, on the surface, I like Cooper and Wilson better. With Will Disley in there. I mean, Gordon could have a good game, but, you know, your Disley is touchdown dependent. If he scores a touchdown, then you got a shot, but give me the other guys.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You cannot be starting Disley in your fucking flex.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why he would be. James Robinson is on this bench.
I guess he's scared of him.
Okay.
Blake, before we move on here, talking about going back to that Kupp versus Williams and Thielen debate.
Yeah.
So far, Kupp has outscored the combination of them in 2 out of 5 weeks. But the other 3 weeks, it's been 39 to 31, 26 to 16, and 39 to 37. So really the production, but if you mash Williams and Thielen's production together, it's been basically Cooper Kupp all year. So I think that makes it super, super easy.
All right. I stick by my guns because I'm a man of principle.
Gun them up.
Yeah. Jags at Indy for T, Niners at Atlanta for Shaka's.
Jags, surprisingly good defense this year against a quarterback that can't hang on to the ball. Give me the Jags.
I actually like both defenses here. 49ers have played really good defense recently, and Atlanta's without some people and haven't shown that their coach knows how to get their playmakers the ball. For giggles, give me the Niners because I want to be against Tyler this week for no reason.
Yeah, everybody hates Tyler. So, and that's totally justifiable. Right. Testicle T. Let's talk about this bench. So many people on by. But I mean, Tyler Allgeier and James Robinson are two names that, and maybe even or definitely Josh Kelly, all should be in the lineup over Will Dissly.
Yeah, any of those.
I mean, I'll disagree on Josh Kelly, but I mean T Higgins is in if he plays, right? That's easy.
But we don't know.
Outside of that, I mean, Allgeier had you know, a somewhat unproductive week against a really good Tampa Bay front. They go up against San Francisco, who I believe is also still a good front.
Very.
So, you know, what are you expecting there? Yeah, for me, this is, you got to play James Robinson and just hope that the last 2 weeks, Philly obviously has a good front. Houston, not great. So that's kind of concerning, but Indy is not a good front. So give me James Robinson here over Dissly and make it T. Higgins if he plays.
Yeah, the whole Jacksonville offense and team in general had a weird off week last week against Houston. So
Houston has been forcing those because remember they tied against Indy too.
Yeah, they're sneaky better than people think.
Yeah, they still will not throw to Brandon Cooks. So that's exciting.
Yeah, he's terrible.
Rob, let's go through the Shaka's bench. What can they do? Is Tyler Boyd a play if Higgins doesn't play?
No, because they put Michael Thomas, I think that's his name, in that spot, or Mike Thomas. The person who has been hot lately, though we talked about Jacksonville's defense being decent, is Alec Pierce. You know, he's been coming on. He's the obvious, you know, he actually has out-targeted Pittman last week, but he's been the strong number two there. And they're throwing a lot because that could change this week if Taylor's back. So, you know, I could see why you wouldn't want to do that necessarily. You know, other than that, you know, maybe Kareem Hunt, but, you know, I don't necessarily like playing your number two running back against the Patriots because their defense has been very good. So I think that's about it.
All right. Yeah. I think given the fact that the Shakas are a heavy favorite, I don't think you go with the upside for Wilson. I think you go with the safety of Pierce.
Yeah. You're very favored here. And I'm going to start off here taking the Shakas with the dice taking the T.
There you go. I'll go next, and actually I'll have to change my thing from the last matchup. I thought I had the worst spread matchup, but this one actually is a few points worse than mine by about three. And I'm going to take the favorite in the Shakas.
Yeah. I mean, you can't bet against them right now. This could turn out to be one of the best drafted teams straight up that we've ever seen. You know, we'll see how injuries impact it and stuff like that. And that was what we said, I believe preseason was, hey, this team is very top heavy. And if everybody stays healthy, great. But if not, you could have problems. But so far they've stayed healthy.
And they haven't had, buys to deal with yet on their players. So all their top heavy players have played. So yeah, we'll see those weeks that they don't have Kelce and Mahomes and Cooper Kupp and that kind of thing. But
oh, guys, yeah. We may have done an oopsie when we were rating this team.
Yeah, why?
Rob had the Shakas. Starters, number nine. Bench, number nine. Overall, number nine. Like,
really?
Starters, number 9. Bench, number 10. Overall, number 9. Tyler, starters, number 10. Bench, number 7. Overall, number 9.
Wow.
Oopsie.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but we did, we all thought Miles Sanders would be hot garbage.
And yeah, and you guys were very low on Nick Chubb, and I didn't like that.
Very low on Nick Chubb, and we didn't like that he took him and Hunt, and we didn't like Harris and Boyd and Scantling, but he's pieced it together with, I mean, Cooper and you know, we were all sour on Cooper too, and he's had a couple hundred yard games.
I, for the record, was not sour on Cooper.
True. And then Garrett Wilson came crazy. So,
all right. So to round this bad boy out, we have all taken the same people in the matchup. The dice has taken the underdog every single time, except for agreeing us with us on the Reapers. So,
wow.
Yep. Somebody's gonna have a bad week.
It's either all of us or just the dice. So we all know what we're all hoping.
God, if the dice wins. The dice would be like 3 games up on us.
It'd be hilarious if the dice won. That's all I got. I hope everybody has a great weekend, and let's hope for a good week 6, everybody. Huey Lewis, let's play us out.